ready?
29th, the Man Up Show is on the air. Big D Daryl Harrington, one of your co-hosts, on the line. Yeah. It's been a really, really full week. I'm sorry. I missed last week's episode was on forgiveness. Forgiveness, and I'm so sorry that I missed that episode because I sure had a thing or two I wanted to talk about on that topic. But I love having my wedding anniversary, so I and my lovely wife Tara celebrated our first year of marriage to one another. So you know, it's just me and my baby. So yeah, you know how that can be. So you know, let's give it up for my lovely wife because you know. Yes, love that makes the world go round. So that's what I was doing. That's what I was doing last week. And this week, our very own Edward L. Fairley is celebrating his wedding anniversary, his beautiful wife. So, yes. Let's give it up to Eddie and his wife. May they have many more years of marital bliss. Because that's good. Tonight, also, our brother from a different mother, the founder of this show, Wayne, Mr. Naz Holland, is dealing with some family issues. Mom is not quite, you know, she's a little under the weather, and him being a good son, he's going to make sure his mama's okay, so he's taking care of the fam tonight. So, yeah, you know, you got to do these. Yes, you got some really, really good dudes on this show. So, yes, let's give it up for Naz, when Naz, you know, doing his thing and making it happen. So, taking care of home. Yeah. So, where do we start? Where do we start? Tonight's topic of the show is Time to Man Up. Brother Jamie and Brother Tom will be calling in a couple of minutes. We're going to jump right into this topic right after a quick music interlude. But I did want to speak my piece on last week's topic. Last week's topic was about forgiveness. You can never move forward if you keep constantly carrying things, dead weight, from yesterday into tomorrow. Forgiveness gives you the power, it gives you the ability, it gives you power to move forward without anything slowing you up or holding you back from yesterday. Be being upset with you about something you did, didn't do, said, didn't say is ridiculous, because it has no bearing on where I'm trying to get to right now. It has no bearing on what I'm trying to become right now or what lays before me. The similarities of where you are and where you were can be just very, very close, but it's not the same situation. And just to hold on to bad juju doesn't make any sense. So, you know, let it go. And, you know, that's just my 2 cents on that topic right there. So I did want to address it before, you know, we moved any forward, you know, into tonight's topic. So, you know, that's my P's and Q's, so to speak. Okay. Now, going to tonight's show. Tonight's show is Time to Man Up. Today also, in our community, I would be remiss if I didn't happen to mention the passing of a local spiritual icon. Today, in the city of Irvington, New Jersey, Pastor Ron Christian, the pastor of the Christian Love Baptist Church, was found dead 6 o'clock this morning in his church. This man was a giant in the pulpit. He had the ability to have, you know, touched a great many lives, a great many individuals, brought them from where they are to where they were to where they are. We need to just constantly hold that family, the Christian family, also the Christian Love family, in prayer. So we need to take some time to do that. So I'm going to dedicate this first song and going into this first break with Pastor Christian in mind. He saw the best in me. God bless you, my brother. Godspeed in your journey. And let's listen to the song. And then we come back with Jamie on the other end, and we're going to go into Time to Man Up.
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell you one more time, one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one.
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
everyone
else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? Tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine, and I am. It doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
He is mine, and I'm his. It doesn't matter what.
the reason why he sees me who I am, because he created me in his image and his likeness. He's mine.
He's mine.
I am his.
I am his.
It doesn't matter what I need.
It doesn't matter what I see.
He only sees me.
He only sees me who I am.
He saw the best.
He saw the best.
Yes, 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 yes. The best in me, the best in you. Yes, you see, yes, you see. Well, once again, it's Big D. John Hatton on the line. My brother from a different mother. Jamie, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, brother. How you doing?
All right, all right, all right. We're going to dynamic do it for a little bit till the rest of the horsemen come on. So that's going to be perfectly fine. Jamie, how's your week been going so far, thus far, brother?
My week is going good. I'm blessed. And I've learned to count my blessings as well as be definitely thankful for what I have, you know, to a point where striving for excellence and striving to move forward and proceed. To proceed forward is not perceived as a bad thing, or is not perceived to be greedy. But like I said, wishing for a smooth projection into the future, but as well as, you know, giving thanks to what I have currently.
Don't stop about that. You know, brothers can learn a thing or two from Brother Jamie, and so can the sisters. The sisters already know. Ain't nothing like a smooth Negro. And I'm telling you right now, you know, like when you take, taking no pads out, you know, write a little memo, because, you know, brother leads you to the promised land if you pay attention to him. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah, I try.
You know,
I definitely try.
Pay attention. I pay attention in the morning. Man, brother, I listened to y'all the show from last week.
Okay.
My apologies, my wedding anniversary is going down. You know, got to get
Oh, no, man. Congratulations. Congratulations,
thank you,
brother.
Thank you very much, brother. So, you know, but I had to listen to the last week's show. You know, we were talking about forgiveness. And, yo, man, I mean, I'm telling you, man, Damon, you're an all-star in this piece, brother. You know, it's you that Edward L. Fairley. I don't know.
I know, man. Eddie.
There were some people that may not, you know, may have disagreed with, had a hard time letting go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when we have a hard time letting go, I think we already articulately stated, we have a hard time letting go. You know, the person you're being poisoned to is yourself. You're not doing anything to that person. That person is still doing what they do.
Yes.
They don't give a rat, Fanny, you know how you feel. You know, we know at one point or another, unless you do something else to keep the momentum going. And you can't feed negativity without thinking something's going to splash back on you.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely.
I think your brother hit the head on the nail just right. Like I said, I mean, I wish I was in on the tag team. I'm like, you know, sad puppy dog on the sideline. Like, I'm talking to me. I had my ball. You know, it's all great. Okay, but nice topic. Time the man up. There are times we reach crossroads in our lives where, you know, we're no longer the understudy. You know what I mean? We ain't on the JV no more. This is the boss. You know, it's time for us to kick in and do what we were trained, born, groomed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to take back, whether it be our household, whether it be our community, whether it be our own individual lives. You know, it's time to man up. It's time to grow up. And it's time to man up. There's a lot of males out there who are of age, but conduct their lives as they're not accountable to anything. They're not accountable to God. They're not accountable to their wives. They're not accountable to their children. They're not accountable to their parents or family or whomever looks to them in order to help their life situation out. It's a call to arms. I mean, I think this whole year we dedicated Man Up to just that. It's a call to arms for brothers to wake up. Let's stop sitting in this comatose state and watching our children self-destruct without us, you know, saying something or doing something. There's nothing worse than when you see a 19-year-old man, you know, kill another 19-year-old man. One man's family is burying a young man. And another young man's family is sending another young man away for 20 years. You know, both families are destroyed. Nobody's family's unscathed in this. Both families lose when these things happen. They just lose in different areas. So we have to try to look to see what, you know, what we can do about. Let me I want to hear what your opinions are, and which I'm sure everybody else does too, about what you feel about our topic tonight. For it's time to grow up. It's time to man up.
Wow. I had Well, I'm gonna call this my segment, my little segment, ripped from the headlines. And when I mean ripped from the headlines, I mean the headlines meaning my personal experience or experiences. And I think I knew it was really time for me to man up. Again, when both of my children were born, that was number one. Even though myself and their mom and I are not together, as well as being committed to being in their lives, as well as being committed to having several part-time jobs, which it took me so long to find several part-time jobs only because I had to find it and fit it in the schedule that I didn't have my children.
Right.
So that was the complicated part right there. And I didn't want it to take up every weekend, because the way I alternate with the kids is Tuesday, Thursday, and every other Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and every other holiday, you know, and every other, you know, birthday. But what happens is it lets my kids see how hardworking I am, and as far as that, I still have the time to be in their lives as well. So manning up means that, okay, again, you and their mom or you and their dad might not have got along, whatever the case may be if you're a female. But in our case, manning up is the equal sharing of the children, the co-parenting, you know, and like I said, as well as having the jobs and coming to the terms where my failures were, because I had to equal that as well. Where were my failures? Why am I in this situation? Because every year what I was doing is I was committing insane acts, and I mean insane acts by doing the same stuff over and over again and expecting different results, which I did. I got the same results. So what happened was, by me doing the same thing and getting the same results, I said, okay, I'll bounce back next year. This life goes so fast. I can remember what I was doing at 8 years old, 12 years old, and 15 years old. Now, if you keep putting that stuff away, then what happens is you wake up one morning like me and you're 42, you know. So you have to realize, okay, in doing this, this has to be done differently. I almost did this last year, so instead of jumping over this hurdle and falling into a pitfall, what I'll do is I'll walk around this hurdle and walk around the pitfall and swing to the other side, you know, so the things become so much more different, you know, in that aspect. So I think manning up is really realizing that, guess what, also as well, I don't have to be the dominant one in my relationship. I can be equal. I can actually be equal. I can actually listen, you know, communicate, learn how to compromise, as well as make sure that if my lady asks me something, that I answered it. Because a lot of times, and I tell her this a lot, and I say, you know, I can't give you the answer that you want to hear. I can only give you the answer that I can say that's coming from my heart. But a lot of times, I think I answered the question and I didn't. So all those things to me form the lineup of manning up when I say, okay, do you think I answered the question or did I answer your question? And she'll say no, and she'll say yeah, and then we'll move on from there. So it's just so many things when it comes to me, like I said, when it comes to manning up. And that's, you know, several experiences that I've hopefully, you know, have put forth into my children understanding it as well.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Absolutely. Now, also on the line is our brother Shamar. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you?
All right. What's up, Shamar? How you doing, brother?
Pretty good, pretty good.
That's good.
All right, brother. Tonight's topic is time to grow up. It's time to man up. Now, I know you're going through something, and you're going through your trial, and you do what you do. Share with us what tonight's topic means to you.
Well, I was just listening. Was that Eddie speaking?
No, that's Jamie, I told you.
That's Jamie? Oh, wow. Well,
yeah,
well, hello,
right.
Jamie. It's been a minute, Jamie.
I know, right? I took a page from Eddie Book.
We have, man, that have got, like, tremendously, tremendously deep. We're deep, deep brothers. Deep.
Wow.
I mean, like, in it, deep, deep, deep.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
This year alone, the past 2 years alone, you know, everybody that I've encountered within Man Up, you know, everybody knows I have a son, things of this nature. And this year, you know, I started dating someone, and I was just looking at how the things that she had accomplished, and I, you know, it put me in a place where I'm like, you know, not that I feel like I felt like I had to, you know, like overdo it, but I'm like, damn, I'm 37, you know, I know that I have a king that I have to raise, like, you know, I have to, you know, I have to do better. And this year alone, you know, I got, I have a, you know, I'm in a position to buy a home, you know, many different, you know, avenues to go down as far as a career, things, you know, I'm, you know, starting school in January, things of that nature, so on and so on. But it was just time to stop making excuses for myself. And even though the person that I was dealing with at the time, we're no longer dating, but that's a whole other topic. But, you know, I appreciate the time that we were together because it put me in a space where, like, you know, I can do this. You know, I think for a lot of, not even just myself, but for a lot of men, we get beaten down so much just by life that we start making excuses for ourselves, you know, and a lot of times, and the one thing I've learned is, you know, I keep hearing people like, you know, and this was an issue with my friend and I, and, you know, for me, if I come to you and I ask, and I'm, you know, when I've learned how to humble myself, you know, over time, but if I come to you and ask you for help, that means I need help because I'm not one to ask for help. So if, and I'm not talking about myself, but I'm talking for a lot of men, or not even just a lot of men, but a lot of people as well, men and women, they're in a space where people are like, well, you just have to push through it. If they're asking for help at this point, and it's been 20-some-odd years since they've done anything remotely close to being what would be considered a man or a woman, that means that they don't know how to push through it. So it's, we're all accountable on that level, on some level, to kind of walk them through it. And, you know, I listened to a lot of what, you know, I thought it was, Eddie, but, you know, it was Jamie. And I listened to a lot of what he said. And, like, for me, it was, I had got to a place earlier this year when I was just like, damn, I'm like, life just passed me by. And I was saying it to my little brother actually as well, maybe about 2 weeks ago. I said, you know, there's certain things that I have to get done because everybody, like, now I have a child, but most of my friends have multiple homes and great careers and, you know, things of this nature. And not to say that I'm trying to live up to anybody else's standard, but those are things that I should have obtained already. And for me, it's just the biggest thing is just, you know, getting in a space where humbling yourself as a man to ask for help if you need help, but also allowing God to place the people around you and recognize, and you have to also be in a space yourself to allow, you know, to be able to, you know, to decipher, you know, whose friend is in reference to helping, you know, helping you. Like, you know, Wayne, one day Wayne called me, you know, out of the blue. I'm not saying that me and Wayne don't have conversations on the phone, but we hadn't talked in a minute. And he was just calling to check up on me. And he doesn't know that, you know, well, now he knows tonight, but, you know, I really appreciated it because that day that he called me, I was in the funk. You know, so, you know, again, it's this, we have to stop making excuses for ourselves and, you know, also just allowing God to work however he works in our lives to be able to kind of see, you know, who, because it's also about us helping one another as well, our fellow man, you know, because, you know, again, it's about accountability. You know, I believe that's a part of the process as well. Like, a lot of us don't know how to man up because we didn't have dad at home. You know, all we had at home was mom. You know, so, but, you know, that's just my take on it.
Yes, man, I totally understand. All right. Now, I want to try to tackle this on a couple different levels. I'm going to spin it around the room. I want to also encourage you to call in 646-478-4507. You know, don't be scared. You know, call in the Man Up Show. You know, the Man Up Show was on the air. We're going to give you this hour and a half just to be able to address our topic. Time to grow up. Time to man up. Today, like I said, I said in the beginning of the segment that locally we lost a legend in the pulpit, a legend in the community, Reverend Rob Christian of Christian Love Baptist Church of Irvington, New Jersey. He left us this morning to go on to be with the Lord. Reverend Christian had a checkered past, like a lot of us. We all have a checkered past. But my brother had an addiction problem. Certain issues that he overcame when he became a reverend, a pastor. He built this little church on a hill in Irvington to a 6,000 member congregation who's out in these streets, literally out in the streets, and working it, just dealing with people who are dealing with the demon of drugs, all sorts of real demons and real issues that affect the lives of common day people, and trying to, you know, fight the spiritual battle on a spiritual plane and healing his people. And, you know, God bless him for his ministry that flourished while he was here on this earth. He's now gone on to a better resting place. But I think I want to take a couple seconds to get, you know, the brothers to cast their opinion, you know, if they choose to share it on Reverend Christian and his battle and how, you know, he was a great example of one person growing up and manning up. I'm going to start with you, Shabar, then I'm going to go to Jamie. Shabar? Oh, Shamar. Okay, what's up with Jamie?
What's up, brother?
Okay. Jamie, you know about Reverend Christian, right?
I heard about him today. I got a text message from somebody today that told me what happened. From what I've read about him, from what I heard from other people, I have a friend of mine who actually attends his church and is a part of his congregation. From what I understand, he was a good person. And like I said, we all have demons that we have to fight. We continue to fight, and we're going to fight in the future. But from what I understand, again, because I got a little bit more information, I actually didn't know we were going to be talking about them this evening, but from the information that I received earlier, I mean, he helped so many people in the community, like me. You know, I call out our congregation, you know, fantastic felons. He helped a lot of felons. He helped a lot of people that had issues. He helped the hungry, the poor, so forth and so on. So somebody like that to just, he could have took his success and left, you know, but he, you know, he stayed within the area and he continued to spread his love and help people in every facet that he possibly could. Wow. And for him to be taken away, it just meaning that, you know, he has greater things to accomplish, you know. So now what we're doing is we're going to, from what I understand, they're going to have a, you know, a huge going away ceremony, how great his life was and all the people that he's helped and have gone away and now coming back are going to celebrate, you know, everything that he's done for them. But it's just so strange how the good go and the evil roam the earth. I don't know what the deal with that is. I can't answer. It's something that I can't answer. But it's something that you just, it's one of those questions. This is why you just learn to live with certain things in life and again, just accept it. So hopefully whoever continues his work will be as fluent as he was in the community, and they won't miss a beat, you know. Hopefully they won't miss a beat in helping out others.
Absolutely. There's a saying in the Bible that work is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And that's the case, you know, when, you know, our communities are dying.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you look at it, you see so many young brothers out there in the streets just wandering about aimlessly with nowhere to go. Have you ever seen, like, the Thriller video?
Of course, man. Listen, in 1983, that video was $14.99 on Betamax. I had the big old cassette that looked like a waffle. I watched that video to the cassette. Snapped, and then I had to send my aunt, please go get me another one. That was the greatest, and still to this day, that is the greatest video that was ever made. They're supposed to be remastering it and putting it in the theaters this year. I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
supposed to be in the theaters around this time, too. It's supposed to be around Halloween.
Yeah,
supposed to be putting it in the theaters.
Right.
I read it last year. So I don't know what's going on with it, but
I
see it,
brother.
With the zombies,
the zombies
and the monsters.
Man. Zombies hit the streets. And they hit that walk. I mean, they were working it, you know.
Yeah.
And if you look at down the street, then it's like, yo, man, why the zombies hit the street? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I mean, Shamar said something, and he said he's going to call back and he's having the technical difficulty with his phone. That, you know, a lot of this stems from not having dad. Now, I'd like to say, though, hold on, though. Back in the 60s and in the 70s, there were households where dad wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
Either dad was working or, you know, Papa was born at home. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, it's not, okay, I would say that the situation is worse now than it was before. But I'm not going to say it didn't exist or it wasn't prevalent. But what was prevalent was there was always that male figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was always a dude there. There was a guy there. You know, it could be granddad. It could be uncle. It could be brother. It could be, there was another guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody there, you know, that had a dick just like you, you know, who, you know, you were very close to, who you emulate. You look at this dude like, yeah, all right, this is how I'm supposed to do it. This is how I'm supposed to want to do it. So let me try to focus and think on that. As I'm looking at our board right now, I see that the first lady is mad up and has chimed in. And the wonderful vibrations. The signature black is on the line with the Stiggy Special. Stiggy, holler at your people.
Hey, Julian, how are you tonight?
Hey, 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 how you doing?
Thank you, Steve.
Anyway,
I love when you guys talk about real men and manning up. Big up to the men that are actually wanting to do what they're supposed to do as a man, with or without a mentor in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are talking about how in the 50s and the 60s, dad wasn't necessarily around, but things are different now, and there's still dads that's not around. The difference is you had mothers back then that knew how to be mothers. And
well,
as a mother, I can raise my sons to be decent human beings. I can raise my sons to do the right things. I can teach my sons manners, but I can't teach my son how to be a man.
How to be a man.
So if dad's
right.
not around, then it's up to moms to make sure that the sons get what they need. That's why we have the big brothers and big sisters clubs out there. That is why you have those male figures in their life, the deacon in the church, the pastor in the church, those people who will look out for them. Because it takes a man to teach a man how to be a man. I can be one hell of a mother. That does not mean I know what it's like to be a man.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, tell you, that's why, you know, you gotta be ready with the Stiggy Special about to unleash on y'all with the Stiggy Special. But, you know, Stiggy, I 100% agree with you that we can give. Okay, as fathers, we can give our daughters a sound foundation where they don't need anybody else to verify who they are. They don't need somebody else's approval in order for them to feel that they are somebody, because their validation didn't come from them. The validation came from their daddy. Their daddy
exactly
how beautiful they are. How lovely they are, how wonderful they are, you know. Understand that, you know, you're a flower in my garden. And ain't nobody going to step in my yard and just pluck flowers out of my garden. That doesn't work that
way. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's something that a father instills in his daughter. But, that man cannot teach her how to be a woman because he has no mental concept of how that shit works. As a matter of fact, I mean, we run around women for the rest of our lives. From the second that we came out of vagina, we've been trying to get back into a vagina. We still cannot figure out how a vagina works. We don't understand anything that y'all doing, what y'all talking about, what y'all thinking about. Just don't get it. Just don't understand it. We were eating spaghetti 1 second. Next thing I know, there's a fight and an argument. I don't know what we fighting about because all I was doing was eating spaghetti. But it was so much more than just spaghetti. We all know how these circumstances happen. So, nonetheless, dudes have no idea. No. I cannot teach you how to be a woman. Where your mama at? Where your mama at? Where big mama at? Where grandmama at? You know, dudes never have that problem. If a man somehow has custody of his daughters, trust me, believe me, ain't no woman in their right mind going to let that man try to raise that girl all by himself. That every auntie.
The neighbor down the street.
Yes, all hands on deck. Why? Because this dude will mess this up, no doubt. Because this child, as soon as that child becomes hormonal, this man is dead man walking. You hear me? Dead man walking. Now, on the other side of the street, like you said, a woman has no idea what it takes for a man to be a man. Don't know, I need to call in some operatives in order to make this happen. But for some strange reason, and I mean, I think it's because of the strength of some of our sisters that, like for myself, my mother, God rest her soul, was a strong, 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 strong black woman. Ah, Mama, I love you. Yes, indeed. My mother was an extremely strong black woman, but I never thought my mother needed any help, ever. My mother got this. Literally, she got this. So she got everything. She got this. And, my mother was starting to get older. My mother was in her 50s, and I was in my 30s, early 30s. And I'm starting to go, something? Maybe I do need to do a little more because, are you favoring, your right side? No, I ain't favoring nothing. You blind. There's nothing wrong with me. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, nah. There's something wrong. Let me help you out. Help me out. You ain't helping me out. I'm like, all right. Let me just do this because I ain't got nothing else better to do. All right, fine. Since you ain't got nothing else better to do. We cool. So, you do what you got to do to try to, work that in there. You need to take your place. You're not going to be a child always. You don't have, remember how, I'll open this up about the Jamie Order sake. Remember when you were a child and you were at the children's table? Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Christmas, whatever major holiday.
Definitely.
You were the little kid's table.
Definitely.
You were at the big kid's table. Who are you? You eat, people, served your food, put your food on the plate. Your responsibility is just to clean your dishes at the end and then go into the kids' room because the grown folks will talk adult stuff in the living room.
Exactly.
Real basic concept. As you matured, do you remember how old you were when you got a seat at the big table?
22, maybe 21.
Do I sit at the big table now?
The first day, where you're sitting at the table, you're there, you're part of the show. You're looking at your kids or your nieces and nephews or whatever at the little kids' table. You are with your by yourself or significant other. And, you're talking about, Pastor Mac and Cheese. you've elevated. You've gotten a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's going to come a time where you buy your old home. And, you and your wife, and, it's your table.
Mm-hmm.
You're the head of your table. I am serving my guests. I'll eat last. I'm serving my guests because I'm the head of my table. Once again, that's another elevation. You're going from one state to another.
Yes, it is.
But understand, then you will go back to just sitting at the table, but this time you'll be sitting at your son's table or your daughter's table. And, you are looking at what foundation that you had laid.
Exactly.
As we move on, it's about evolution. And what I think has happened, and I think there's a slight disconnect, is from our generation to the generation beneath us, we didn't lay the examples the way they need to be laid. Children and these young men and young women now, not children, they're in their 20s now. They're in their 20s and as confused as they want to be. They don't have a sense of there's no base, there's no sense of family, there's no sense of togetherness. Can't even have a conversation. If they're going to talk to you, they're going to talk to you. Nobody's having a regular conversation no more.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Jamie.
Yes, sir.
What can we do to try to bring that family back together? Let's put away the tablets and the Twitter and the Facebook, and we need to relate to people again. So how do we do that? Thanksgiving is coming. We need to bring our family back together.
Definitely, like I said before, talking to your kids, bringing the family unit back together. I have a thing with my kids about the holidays, especially about Christmas, and it not being what gift I'm going to get, how much money you're going to spend on me, but more or less the family coming together and being around each other. It reminds me of that. Reminds me of the family reunion, the OJ's album, the OJ single.
Yeah, family reunion.
With everybody being around each other, and like you said, your father, your grandfather being at the head of the table, everybody missing each other, watching the elder people dance and, making fun of them, as well as they making fun of us and our dances and our haircuts and things like that. It's just missing your family, being around your family and talking. I do discipline my children if that's the case, but I very seldom, I don't think I've done maybe twice, was like spankings, because I didn't have to do that, because I basically talked to them and showed examples and demonstrated what ifs and talked about what was going on in the news, where more or less, to me, like I said, bringing the family together is like a communication factor as well, because we put so many things before family, and I've been accused of it as well. Like I said earlier, I had to choose a schedule to get my part-time job to fit around what I was doing. So many people don't have that luxury. They have to work around holidays and miss certain things and miss birthdays, and miss important events, which is it can be harmful a little bit, but as long as you talk and the kids understand, I think there's a way to definitely get through it. And we have to stay in contact with people, because a lot of times if people aren't around us every day, we lose touch with them. And like I told somebody, if I've met you once in my life and I can help you, then I'll do my best to help you. It doesn't mean that you have to be around me all the time. And that goes with family, because sometimes we treat our friends better than we treat our family, only because our friends are around us more. So I think it's a communication aspect as far as telling people, listen, let's come together. All right, I know you can't afford to bring nothing, or if you can or you can't, just come. We want to see your face. Just come over, and I think that's definitely important.
Absolutely. Siggy, what do you feel?
Okay, wait a minute, let me step out of this room. My daughter's doing a party tonight. I'm like, dang, she loud. for us, for my family, it's very important that we stay in touch, that we do have real live conversations. If we're in the car, you're not on the phone, you're not texting, we're having real conversations. We have no technology weekends where anybody in our family can declare it. And we play board games, you have conversations, you talk, you keep in touch. That's very important. Because if you're texting me, you better be on the go somewhere. And that better not be the only time I've heard from you that day. I need to hear your voice.
I tell you. In fact, I'm trying to get this reverb out of this club. Get a lot of reverb on tonight's show, but it's all good. It's all good.
Oh, it's a lot of reverb?
Yeah, but it's all great. Sometimes, when you get apples, you got to make applesauce. It happens. As we continue to move further into the show. Let's just don't call in 646-478-4507. We as men have to be accountable for one another.
We have to be able to look towards
one another in order to help each other to grow, in order to help each other to stand up. Accountable human beings, because the thing about manhood is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these young men don't have an idea, conceptual idea, of what
that is. So it falls upon us to be accountable for what they don't do, but also be accountable to demonstrate to those around them and those younger than them that this is the manner that in which we need to conduct and carry ourselves. Being a self is being an accountable individual, being an accountable human being. It's accountability. I mean, matter of fact, one of the shows should have been accountability, because it's all about that. It's about a man being accountable, or a woman being accountable for that matter. But in us holding our place, you know, God gave us a seat at the table, a specific seat at the table, as being the head of the table. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. The responsibility falls on the king. So we need to stand up and be king, crumple, and not fall to despair every time something doesn't go our way, because life is filled with challenges that don't necessarily go our way. Oftentimes, we're not judged by whether or not we failed or not, because failure is inevitable on a great many levels. But where it is judged is the reaction to it and what comes afterwards. You know, yes, this failed. This didn't work. What do I do? You know, lament over what didn't go wrong? Or do I roll up my sleeves and go back out there again and again and again and again and again and again until I get it right? That's the key. And then, you know, what are we showing our sons? What are we showing our sons when we, you know, have 50,000 girlfriends? Are we teaching our sons that women are disposable? When we go through money aimlessly without taking care of our responsibilities and obligations, are we teaching our children to be irresponsible and whimsical? You know, should your child ever see you high? Should your child ever see you drunk or inebriated? And if so, what then are you condoning for your own child's behavior? You know, is it just me? Or, you know, do I feel that, okay, we might not do the best that we can in laying the tracks or laying the foundation for our youth? Siggy, please tell me if I'm crazy or not.
No, you're not. I think everybody kept saying our generation after us is the lost generation. I think we're the ones that got lost because we let things get out of control. We let technology take over. And we let technology start raising our kids. We let our kids sit at the adult table way too soon. We gave them way too much, way too soon. We rewarded bad behavior, so busy trying not to be like our parents. And let's face it, our parents didn't do a bad job. We turned out pretty good.
Right, absolutely.
So
everybody,
and I keep telling people, we are the generation that was lost because we let everything get away from us. We loosened the reins when we lived by a code, by a standard that our parents set. And even as adults, with our parents, we are a certain way. And I see young kids, this next generation, they'll do and say anything in front of their parents. That's disrespectful to me. There's things I wouldn't do or say in front of my parents. There's things I wouldn't wear in front of my parents. And the next generation gets to get away with that. The next generation gets to tell you stuff like, your mom walks in your house, and they'll say stuff like, well, this is my house. No, it don't work that way, boo. I'm still your mama. You know, I told my oldest son, who's grown, in his 30s, married, I will still whoop you, and I'm not playing.
Uh-huh.
That's just me. I'm just old-fashioned in a way. I'm always going to be mama.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Damn!
If y'all weren't ready for the special, y'all should have asked for it, know what I'm saying? Just saying.
But that's the truth. We lost.
Okay, Jamie, are we all the same? Mine is different. I guess, like I said, the way I raise my children, mine is different because they're still definitely respectful. They're still great students. But as far as the majority, yeah, our generation, yeah, the kids, we lost them. They need a little bit of work. I think it's the keep it real and the ghetto mentality that you feel as though you can take everywhere with you, even to corporate America, as well as, you know, bring it back and it's all right to, you know, again, keep it real in your home. And expect no consequences at all. I think we need to realize, the young lady said, we definitely have consequences for what we do. We can't let all the cyber things raise our children. We got to come to a conclusion that it definitely needs rebuilding, but at what expense? Does it just start with education? You know. Does it start with manners? You know, where does it start? I clearly remember reading Berry Gordy's autobiography about how he started Motown when I was incarcerated. And when he had Motown, he had people that taught etiquette, right? Then you had people that taught you how to walk. Then you had people that taught you how to speak. So he had this assembly line going on in Motown, and at the end, we have Commodores, we have Diana Ross and the Supremes, we have the Temptations, we have the Jackson 5, Stevie Wonder, so forth and so on. Not saying that they didn't have it before they joined Motown, but that Motown thing was, it takes a village, you know. And I think now when we say it takes a village, we just mean our little village, our little, whoever can fit in our hut, supposed to stand in them, because we're not talking about everybody, you know. And I think we have to bring it back to that, because I know at times my hand extends and it touches, you know, family members, my nephew, my niece, you know, a first cousin here, third cousin, a close friend, a distant friend, relatives. But it really spreads out to the unknown at times, because you just, I guess you're wary about how the person's going to take it. And perceive it better than you really helping them out. So we got to get back into that structure again, where starting this assembly line. And to be honest, and it's not because I'm scared of black men. I'm scared of our people. It's just that some of their blatant disregard for just conversing or critiquing is disrespect. Now, there's a thin line between, you know, again, disrespect and being critiqued.
Right.
You know,
right.
Sometimes there's that thin line between you, I guess, checking your teacher and critical thinking, because we're not taught that here. So what I want to embody is that assembly line needs to be put back in place. For us to help other people, and it needs to be pushed forward very quick, because what's happening is, like you said in the beginning, you go right back to the beginning. You have 19-year-olds killing 19-year-olds, burying people. Now they have two families in mourning, and sometimes it gets younger than that. So what we want to do is we want to again make sure everybody understands that you have to be taught certain things. You know, you just, some things are innate and most of the things have to be taught. But the things that have to be taught can be taught without that line of disrespect. You know, I'm giving you what somebody gave to me. I didn't live this long, you know, I'm not stupid, I didn't live this long for no reason. Again, there's pitfalls and things that you gotta be aware of. So, I mean, that's what I think in the end that we have to do.
Absolutely, that brother. I tell you.
Oh, hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, absolutely. Also, I want to, before we go any further,
tomorrow in Virginia.
That's like 8:30 a.m. as well as 12:30. All in Virginia.
All in Virginia.
The VAO show. The talk show of Virginia.
Special, has your man not held your hand? try. Gave you all you need and want as long as I'm alive. I'll shine on.
Brought to you by I Am More Initiative Project, empowering young black males to be better than negative perceptions and history, empowering them to be stronger than they once was. I am not what I used to be. I am more.
Right, a lot of good information out there, a lot of good music, a little Jaheim, you know, for you on a Friday night. Well, we about to get ready to wrap this puppy up. We're going to wrap up the topic, and then after that, then we're going to go to our final thoughts for the week. So without further ado, Siggy, your thoughts about it's time for some of our young men to grow up. And it's time for them to man up. What's your thoughts, Boo-Boo?
I agree. It is time for them to grow up. It's time for them to man up. They need to keep in mind that when little boys are born and they're attached to their moms, they revere their moms, they love their moms, and then they grow up. And to be honest, they're still looking for that woman to revere and love, provided their mom was that mother that was there to nurture them, not baby them, not change their ways, not take them to ballet instead of football. But they grow up and they're looking for that woman to nurture. And if mom was a good mom, mom put that man in his life to give him that guidance about what you look for, what to expect, and how to act as a man. And to me, that's very important that we do that. And as far as the village and the child, that's that village and child to me that was when I was a kid, where Ms. Jackson on the corner will whoop your butt for doing something wrong and then tell your parents about it.
Right.
And that's absolutely the village that I am. I catch a kid somewhere in public acting a fool, I'm going to snatch them up. And I had a little boy one time, so I'm going to tell my mama, go get your mama because she need a whooping too if you acting like this in public.
Wow. Go on, Vicky.
I'm just a firm believer. Men need to man up, and women need the women up.
You know, Oh God. Okay, God. Okay,
Go ahead, man.
What's up, brother? How you doing? Listen, I think that we should be raised with some of the constraints and some of the rules that young ladies are raised with when they're coming up. Young ladies are so prepared, the majority of them are so well prepared for adulthood, so well prepared for life. Again, we get to run rampant as men. Boys will be boys. We get to run rampant in life until we get into a relationship, and then we mess it up because the rules that apply to us don't apply to our counterpart or our partner. But we end up being whatever we want to be only because we were allowed to be gender reared by, not only our mother, but our father. You know, many women that I've encountered are really, really prepared. If we don't just have the exceptions of boys will be boys, and okay, it's cool for, you know, young Jaheim or young Jamie to get locked up a couple of times as an adolescent, but he'll be all right by the time he turns 21 because, you know, men just, you know, that's just how they are, testosterone, no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
mm-hmm.
young ladies are given a rule book and they'll say, listen, you do this, you're not supposed to do that, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that. And I don't mean hard, thick constraints. I just mean an embodiment of words that would allow us to meet young ladies at the crossroad with a level of understanding of, okay, this is the way we're walking in life, and this is the way we're walking in a relationship or a platonic relationship or a friendship or whatever have you. This is the way we're walking when we're raising kids. I'm not running, but this is the way we're walking. And I think that would duly help, our young boys who are running rampant in the streets right now.
All right. Yeah, I agree.
I feel that
we have dropped the ball in our we got wrapped up in our careers, our lives, and we forgot the most important thing, and that was to rear our children. And raise our children, especially our young men. Those of us who have female children, understand who they are. We're a lot of these young boys. You know, whether you know football or basketball, you're a Boy Scout leader, there's a brother on the block, you know, and you see a little dude taking interest in you, whether it's how you dress, the car you drive, how you ball, whatever. Something about you that, you know, a child, you know, wants to mimic you, wants to be like you. It's a sense of flattery, but it's also an opportunity to know that you can reach this child. You can help really influence this child. Is something that is way more poignant than the color of the jacket that you wear, or the size shoe that you happen to wear, or whether that they're this year's shoe or last year's shoe. That all comes with time and maturity and being able to share, to be able to humble yourself and to meet somebody where they are. A lot of times when we accumulate knowledge, we have a tendency to want to impress people with that knowledge, and we don't meet them where they are. We stand where we are, and we like to speak down to, or we like to amaze and titillate those with our newfound sense of importance instead of let me come to where you are. We're going to do this as simply as possible. I need you to relate to me. I need to relate to you in order to help me to help you get out of here. This is where you are. But I know this is not where you want to stay. This is not where you were meant to stay. You were meant to do a lot better than this. So let me help you do better than this. You know, that should be our take. That should be our approach. We need to be more humble. We need to be more upfront, though. We need to be, we need to roll up our sleeves. We need to get in there. We need to talk. We need to conversate. We need to participate. We need to try to seek participation from others in the things that we're doing and have that type of interaction. We need to be more, you know, we need to be more involved than we have been. And, I mean, that's nobody's fault but ours, but, you know, they say, you know, it's, you know, not my fault, okay? It might not be your fault, but it is your problem because it's going to affect your life and the lives of all around you if you don't take process into the recovery. So, you know, let's all roll up our sleeves and let's dedicate ourselves to being able to be that on whatever scale, you know, that God will allow you to press upon it and to be that. I think that's the only way out. So that's, in my opinion, you know, it's a time to grow up, absolutely. It's a time to man up. Yes, it's time to show all the great tools and all the great gifts that were given unto me by the Maker, in use for the Maker, enhanced in order to make the Maker's kingdom a better than it was in heaven. So, it's for me to try to do the best I can in order to help some young buck be able to do the best that he can down the line. So that's the which way I'm taking it. That's just me. All right, closing comments. Siggy, anything you want to share? As we get out of here.
I want to say that as older adults, we owe it to the younger generation to do what we can to make sure they make things easy.
We also owe it to our
equals to make sure that they get up to where they know they should be and stop acting like they shouldn't be.
Okay, all right. Jamie,
yes, sir. I'm going to go with one of my previous statements or quotes. No is one of the greatest words in the English dictionary. It actually helps you strive for betterment as well as excellence. It makes you think about self-awareness, and it definitely helps you move forward.
Well, folks, another show, We've done it for another week. Next time we come back to y'all, it'll already be November. Man, where's this time?
Edward L. Fairley, for Wayne Holland, for Jamie, for me, for Siggy.
Just want to say good night. We love you. And we see you next week. God bless. Okay, boys and girls,
say goodnight. Yes, you will. Good night, everybody.
Love y'all.
Good night. Love you
too. Good night, everybody.
Love you too. Good night.
Playback. Oh,
We got to fight the power that beats. times coming when we're going to have to ante up. Ante up and kick in like men. Like men! Like men!
The math of the show is on air. Shadow, shadow, shadow.
I ask you to bless everybody, bless everybody, bless everybody.
Nobody else is dying by this gun. What up? What up?